Here is Dwyer, goes to work against Quinn, spin dribble, kicks it out, went in three over Gerstner, up and short, rebound Johnson. Johnson shoots it from the foul line all the way back the other way, and made it! Eli shoots it from the other opposite free throw line. The desperation heave at the buzzer is good from about 75 feet. And Boyd down seven, headed into the second quarter. That's the jolt of life that Beloit needed. Eli from about 75 feet from the opposing team's foul line. And Eli now gives it up to Quinn, now to Lance, back to Gerstner. He holds the ball, and the Beloit Trojans take home third place in the 2024 3A state tournament. They end their season with a record of 24-2, tying the school record for victories in the season. Your final score of this third place game here in Hutchinson, Beloit 51, Southeast Saline 37. Beloit wins all three meetings this year against Southeast of Saline.
And that was the call from over the weekend on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com as the Beloit Trojan boys do not accomplish their main goal, which was to bring home the first ever state championship in Beloit basketball history, boys or girls, as they fell on Friday in the state semifinals to Wellsville, 68-49. Eventually, Wellsville went on to win the state title. So Beloit's two losses to a 6A state qualifier, their other loss to the eventual state champion, Wellsville, who play outstanding, especially for final two games of the state tournament, beating Beloit by 19 in the semifinals, shooting 10 of 21 from three, outrebounding Beloit by 10. Turned around the very next day on Saturday in the state championship game, Wellsville did, and did the same thing to Goodland. They hit 8 out of 15 threes, and they outrebounded Goodland by 10. So Wellsville earned the state championship, and they're worthy state champions, their first state championship since 1994, exactly 30 years ago, which oddly enough came against Beloit in the state championship. Beloit, meanwhile, bounced back then the very next day and knocked off Southeast Saline on Saturday, 51-37 for third place. And Beloit was up 18-12 at the end of one, up by as many as eight first half. Southeast went on a big run, 14-2 run, led by four, led by three at halftime. Beloit would bounce back, doing some very uncharacteristic things the last half of the second quarter, but then regained their composure during the break and defensively got it done. Locked down Southeast just 10 points in the second half. Beloit cruised to the win in the second half by 14, 51-37. Eli Johnson and Bryce Spicer had double-doubles. Eli was terrific in the state tournament. He shot 23 of 28 from the floor in the state tournament. He averaged 18 points and 9 rebounds a game in the state tournament. So Eli Jr. will be back next year. 18 points, 13 rebounds. Bryce Spicer had a double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds after being out-rebounded by 10 by Wellsville in the semis, and Wellsville gained twice as many offensive rebounds. Beloit took care of the glass on Saturday in the third-place game, out-rebounding Southeast of Saline by 17. Southeast led by Gannon Jacobson, who's a sophomore with 14. Owen Bailey, a junior, he's 12, so they'll both be back next year. Beloit tied the school record for most wins in a season, 24-2. A year ago, they played Southeast three times. Southeast won all three meetings, including the last one at the sub-state finals in Russell. This year, Beloit wins all three meetings against Southeast Saline, including the third-place game. First time Southeast Saline Beloit ever met in the state tournament. And Southeast finishes their year 15-11. I had a chance to go back and watch the video stream that they do, and it's honestly kind of it's improved, no doubt, but in at least 3A it improved. 4A is not bad. That's the only ones that I watched. I hear 2A wasn't bad either, but no mention whatsoever that they're two league rivals playing each other for third place, or that they played each other two times early in the year. Seems like an important little bit of information, but I know the guy, a nice guy. I know that he has 16 teams to cover, and he's doing all the games solo, and I hope he got paid a ton. I'm sure he didn't, but I he should, based on all the money that NFHS is making, Acacia's making off all of that. But I digress from that standpoint. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. We're going to start focusing on Beloit. If you're not a Beloit fan, you're not going to care about the next 10 minutes, okay? I'm in charge. It's the platform I have. I have the microphone in front of me. This will be pretty much the last you'll hear from me about this boys basketball team. If you don't know why, I'll spend some time on this. Let me for you new people to the show, my son was a senior. I broadcast his games his entire career. That's right. I'm a broadcaster slash parent, dad of a player who just wrapped up his high school basketball career, the sport that he loved from the very beginning. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to play the post-game interview from Ryan Eilert. I had some people that that heard it, thought it was really good. I had some other people asking if I could replay it or post it. I will post it, and I'll replay it here in just a moment. We'll go through all the state championship teams by class. We'll do that coming up in a little bit. We've got All-League, the North Central Activity Association. No surprise that Beloit has four first-team All-Leaguers. They should. They went undefeated in a league that sent four of the six teams to state. So we have All-League for the Beloit boys, All-League for the Beloit girls. We'll go through all of that and all the other league players in the NCAA. Mid-Continent League has their All-League selections released. We'll go over that. We'll talk Big 12 basketball, KU in deep trouble with all kinds of injuries. We'll discuss those issues that Bill Self's going to deal with after they got absolutely railroaded down in Houston, although you could kind of see that one coming. And K-State winning at home on Senior Day. Was that a win? That'll punch their ticket in the NCAA tournament. Here from Jerome Tang. Also coming up on the show, the Chiefs avoid free agency. First day of free agency today. The Chiefs get the deal done, reportedly, with Chris Jones. We'll go through all the numbers, plus a couple of notable quarterbacks. One staying put and getting a big-time contract after almost being run out of the league. And another quarterback that has no reason to make any extra money because he's getting a ton by another team that cut him has found a new home. I'm talking about a former Denver Bronco quarterback that's found a new home today. We'll go over all that coming up here in just a little bit. Kind of surreal. I now know what it feels like for all those parents of players and teams that I've covered in the past, and whether I covered your team or not, obviously teams that Dusty has covered. If you have a kid that's played any sport, and don't have to be a sport, it could be that, you know, it's your final dance performance, your final chance to cheer in front of everybody, could be your final chance to perform in the band, your final debate tournament, forensics tournament, whatever it may be, your final tennis meet, your final wrestling match, your final football game, your final volleyball match, your final cross country run, whatever sport, final soccer game, whatever it is, okay, your final throw in a track and field event. It is interesting in regards to playing after you lose and your ultimate goal is squashed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very unique situation. And I got to deal with it up close and personal. And it was weird because I was telling my wife, I said, you know, every time there's a sub-state game played for Beloit, and then Wednesday against Topeka Hayden last week in the first round of state, as a parent, you're anxious, apprehensive, maybe a bit nervous. And I think subliminally you're nervous because you know it's possible that that could be the last time your kid plays.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the last time your team plays. And so you don't know when it's going to end. And in 2020, you talk about the ultimate suckiness is when your season ends and you didn't even know it, because COVID stopped everything. But when you play in the state semifinals in basketball, you win or lose are guaranteed to play another game the next day. If you're a team that is happy to be there and just made the tournament, then it's not as devastating losing in the semifinal because you're like, you know what? We weren't supposed to be here. House money. We lost. We've had a great run. Let's go get them tomorrow. If your goal or ultimate goal was to win a championship or bust, and you lose in the semifinals, you really could care less about a third place game after you lose in the semifinals. Now, you and I have talked about this before, Dusty. What's the merits of a third place game? I have now experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, as broadcasters, you and I have experienced this, but I've never experienced it from a parent's perspective, from a player's perspective. And I say player's perspective because I know exactly what my son thought of the third place game. Okay. And there's a reason for that. And I'll get to it in a moment. And you and I have talked about third place games. You know, the NCAA, you have your Final Four. Two losers don't play for third. They, you know, the NFL doesn't have, okay, the AFC NFC Championship losers play each other for third. There are no third place games, okay, at those levels. Baseball, you have two World Series. You don't have a third place game. But you have third place matches in volleyball, but it's the same day. Like you semifinal, I think that's even tougher. Mm-hmm. You immediately got to play a third place match after your dreams of winning a title ended 2 minutes before. But with basketball and the way it's set up in our state and in many states is that you play it out through fourth place. You have a third place game. And you and I have discussed this, and we have, I don't know how you feel about third place games as of now, but I remember we discussed the merits of a third place game, and I have presented both sides of the coin. There are many reasons to say it's unnecessary. Don't play it. What's the point? And there is merit to you should play it. There's something to be said about that. People have told me it gives you another chance to go out with a win. Like it also, and I come back with it gives you a chance to lose two in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you follow this Beloit boys basketball team this year, you know what the goal was. I knew what the goal was years ago. The goal was set well before the season began.
Mm-hmm.
The goal was set, honestly, if you really want to go back, and this may sound crazy, but after Beloit lost to Girard in the 2019 championship game, it was already in the heads of Kyle Beisner, myself, I'm guessing Ryan maybe too, Ryan Iyer, the head coach, is that, you know, maybe it'll be our group of kids that could bring home that first state championship. And I think the reason we thought that is, well, one, we coach these kids when they're younger. They played hard. They always never got upset in regards to screaming, never got upset at the officials, never showed them up. And that's why they were all the way through Saturday, their whole careers. Just handled themselves with the utmost class, the whole team. And that says a lot about your parents and your coaching staff and the community as well. And so we thought there was a chance back even then when these kids, Quinn Eilert, and Bryce Beisner and my son Noah Gershner, those three in particular, because they were close to it. You know, Kyle's athletic director and assistant coach. Ryan's the head coach. Ryan's brother's an assistant coach. You know, Quinn's dad and uncle are on the staff. You know, Bryce's dad is the athletic director and assistant coach. Noah's dad is the broadcaster of Beloit, or one of the broadcasters, and been covering Beloit for a decade and a half. And you know, from rebounding the basketball as junior high kids and middle school kids, Noah and Quinn in particular, I remember that. Bryce and Noah were the first ones to help run our video stream 10 years ago when I started that. Noah ran the camera sometimes, and most of the time Bryce was, you know, doing the laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they watched every single one of these games. They saw, I mean, even going back to 2014 when they were young whippersnappers, they were there. They witnessed it. Okay, 2019, they saw it up close and personal. It was tough to swallow. They were in the student section at State because we couldn't stream. And I remember pictures. And I was thinking, boy, it'd be great if these kids could play at State when they get older. And then 2020 happens, and you get back there, and you're so close, and then you get robbed of the opportunity. And you're saying to yourself, well, probably the next best chance for this team to make a run is going to be when this class is seniors. And then they had a heck of a year last year, but there was a team called Southeast. We went to the wrong substate.
You knew that part of it too, right?
We knew that.
Southeast was Southeast up until last
year. We knew the biggest window of opportunity was when Southeast graduated their seniors last year. If Southeast was not in our substate, Beloit could have very well made State last year. That was the roadblock, and we knew it. I mean, we knew these kids that were seniors a year ahead of our seniors back in junior high. We knew it. We saw it coming. And Southeast had some amazing teams, and now we know what they went through the last 2 years after losing on Friday to Wellsville. Southeast was so close and very worthy of winning a state title, much like this Beloit team. And Southeast was so close the last 2 years, had a shot halfway down and out that would have won a semifinal against Heston. Had it gone in, I think, well, they would have won the semis, and I think they would have been a state champ. And they ended up, they've never made a state title game, despite amazing talent the last 2 years. They got bounced in the semis both times. So, not, you know, you sit here as Beloit, you feel sorry for yourselves because you didn't get to, think about doing it 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to Southeast with a loaded team. So this was the window of opportunity. Everybody knew it. And we knew this a few years ago. So the goal was set a long time ago, especially after we were robbed of the opportunity to play in 2020 because of COVID. And by the way, any team still alive was robbed of opportunity, not just Beloit. That the goal was to win a state title. And, you know, I was looking at the schedule for the season, as a parent and broadcaster can do, and I'm thinking, you know, I think we've got a good shot to only lose. I think we have a great, I figured we would have a hard time winning the Colby tournament, so I figured there'd be a loss to there. And I thought, you know, maybe we'd drop a league game. Sacred Heart was one I thought of. Ellsworth's really good. I thought there was a chance we could lose to a Concordia or Clay Center. So, you know, I was looking at the whole schedule, and I'm thinking, listen, we should be 20-3 going to state. Okay? That was my thought before the season. I thought, you know, really, maybe we'll be 21-2. I underestimated the team. Because Beloit won their first 10 games. They lost to Olathe North in the Orange and Black Classic Championship. They were a 6A state qualifier, won 13 in a row, won sub-state, go to state. They blow the doors off the PK Hayden, a game that scared the crap out of me. And by the way, the two games that scared me the most going into postseason play was Silver Lake, who we beat by 28. And I felt better about the Nemo Central game. We barely won that one. And then I felt really nervous about Hayden, blew the doors off them up 30. Wellsville, I felt a little bit better about, mainly probably because I knew we were going to play 3 days. But I did have my concerns. There's no doubt. But I think I was more stressed because of, well, you're done after one game.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, the two games that worried me the most in regards to my being tied up in knots were the games that Beloit just crushed the opposition. Topeka Hayden team, by the way, they won by 14, but they wasn't even close. They were up 30 in the fourth quarter, and people are asking about a running clock. Who would ever thunk that? It's an amazing season Beloit had. They had the target on their back. They were the number one team in the state from January 5th all the way to the end of the regular season. They were the number one team in the state for basically most of the season. They had a target on their back. They played in a league that had four of the six teams go to state. And by the way, Sacred Heart finished third, Southeast finished fourth, and Ellsworth almost knocked off Wellsville up 5 in the fourth quarter, and Wellsville won the state title. And they went undefeated in that league. They won 10 in a row. They won 13 in a row, so forth and so on. So let me get back to what I wanted to talk about with third place games. So Beloit ran into a buzzsaw. Wellsville was a bad matchup. It just wasn't a good matchup. Four guards that can all drive it, can all shoot it. Boy, it's the curse of my mother-in-law. I said it on the broadcast. We were sitting up in the stands watching Ellsworth Wellsville after Beloit crushed Hayden, and my mother-in-law behind me, she says to her husband and myself, and she goes, "Who do you think's a better team, Ellsworth or Wellsville?" And before we'd answer, she goes, "I think Ellsworth." And we immediately turned to her and said, "No, Wellsville." And she goes, "They can't shoot." I said, "You just jinxed us." I said, "Now they'll probably shoot the doors off, shoot the lights out on Friday when we play them." Guess what happened? 10 of 20, they were 2 of 15 from three and barely beat Ellsworth, down 5 in the fourth quarter. Friday, they were 10 of 21 from three. Contrary to some former Beloit alum saying that Wellsville shot 87% from the floor, missed only 4 3-pointers, and states it as fact. So they should run for office, because I don't know where the hell you pull that crap out of your butt. You know, you could say it felt like, but yeah. I mean, you state it as a fact is just quit doing these things, people. No, Wellsville did not shoot 87%. They shot like 50%. They were 10 of 21 from three. That's almost 50% from three. They out-rebounded Beloit by 10. They second chance points were 19-8. They just beat Beloit. And I sat there and I thought to myself, I can live with this one, and here's why. because Wellsville just beat us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was worried that at some point Beloit would lose on a buzzer beater, or one of our kids would have something they didn't do right, miss a free throw, miss a shot, or, you know, force a shot, or make a turnover, or have a defensive lapse, or some weird bounce of the ball, or a horrible call by an official late in the game. I was just praying that that would not happen. Like, if we're going to win it, we win it, and if we lose it, we lose it. But I didn't want controversy. I didn't want heartache. I wanted it to be, we win it, we win it. And if we don't, we don't. Well, that's what happened. Wellsville beat us. And I haven't heard a single Beloit person make an excuse yet, which is good for you, because most people would. There's no excuses. Wellsville was the better team. They just was not a good matchup. They were Sacred Heart on steroids, is what I called them. Mm-hmm. And Sacred Heart gave Beloit all they could handle, as you know. And so they shot it well, they could drive it, and their man-to-man pressure was great on the perimeter. They pushed us further out, they pushed our bigs off the block, they out-rebounded us even though we had more size. They were the more aggressive team, the more physical team, and somebody said, yeah, it kind of sucks, Wellsville played their A game, we played our C game. The reason we played our C game is because of Wellsville. Because two teams playing each other, both aren't going to play their A game.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to make the other not play their A game. Wellsville did that to Beloit. They went on to win a state championship. They beat Goodland by 10. But what I want to talk about third place game, I'm going to give you a little insight. I don't have to share this with you, but I will. But going back to the goal was set before the season. The goal was set, I would argue, years ago, that these kids, when they were seniors, they were going to bring home a state championship. Anything less than that is a disappointment. Now think about the pressure that is. And I'm not saying that people put it on them. The kids put it on themselves. They took it on themselves. Now, did some of us parents mention it from time to time and maybe put more pressure on them than we realized? That's probably true. The parents I just mentioned, including myself, we probably are guilty of that. But they handled it with aplomb.
Mm-hmm.
And they go 24-2. So we get home. And for some of you listening, you may have experienced this with your own child, whether it be in any other sport. It could be any other sport. And so I'm broadcasting the game, and it's disappointing to lose, obviously. And I know my son is ticked off. The whole team's frustrated, disappointed. And we went out with some family to eat afterwards. Team got back to Beloit before we did. We get home, we go downstairs to my son's room. And I just gave him a big hug and didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. And we cried it out. And then Mom came down, we all cried it out together. Words weren't necessary. Life's hard. Adversity is hard. And when you have a goal and you don't obtain that goal, it's disappointing. It's frustrating. And I told my son, I said, you know, sports is a great microcosm for life. I've said it 1,000 times on the show. For those of you who poo-poo sports, that's your prerogative. But you don't know anything about sports if you do say those things. Just my opinion. Sports is a microcosm of life. You put yourself out there in front of a whole bunch of people, strangers. You play for the school's name. Your name's not on the back of these jerseys in high school. You're playing for the school. You represent the community. And this team brought tremendous pride to this community, and this community should be extremely proud of what this team did, even though they didn't get what they eventually wanted. And guess what? In life, you don't always get what you want, do you? You don't.
No.
And I told my son, I said, if this is the worst thing that happens to you in your life, you are living gloriously. Because I told him, I said, there are going to be tougher things in life you're going to deal with as you get older. I've experienced it. Most adults have experienced this. If the worst thing that happened to your life was losing a sporting event, then you are doing really well. Because there's going to be much more heartache ahead, much more disappointment, much more frustration. There's going to be highs, there are going to be lows. And so I told my son this after we cried it all out. And I told him how proud I was of him, and I still am. busted his ass to become the best player he could be. God knows how much time he spent in the gym, as did many of his other teammates. A lot of it he did on his own. I backed off at a certain point. I think it was freshman year, just like he took it from there. And I said to him, I said, you know, there's only one good thing I can think of about a third place game. Only one thing. I said, you, unlike most high school athletes, are in a unique situation. You know when your last game is. Everybody else doesn't know. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden they lose, it's over, just like that. You know. Now, in some ways, it's kind of worse maybe because, oh my God, this is going to be the last time I touch the ball for sure. Now, you make a state title game, you know this. You make a third place game, you know this. But that's it. Any other game, you don't know. You're losing sub-state finals, heartache. I told my son, imagine Sabetha boys last year, 22-0, number one team in the state. Lost to a team they'd beaten twice.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that, seniors are done. Season's over. You talk about heartache. Oh, my God. Against your rival on top of it all,
yeah.
Who you've beaten twice. That'd be equivalent to Beloit losing to Southeast in the semis this year. That'd be equivalent. Except in sub-state. So I told him, here's the one good thing about playing a third-place game. You get to take one last... You get to take one more last bus ride with your teammates, your classmates, your coaches, to Hutchison. You get to play one more game with your buddies, your classmates, your teammates, your friends. And you have one more opportunity to get a win that would tie the school record for wins in a season at Beloit. And I said, I know the two others that I know of that went 24-2 did make the state title game. I understand. I said, whether you believe it or not, whether you believe in a third place game or not, if you don't believe it, you've got to fake it. You're a leader. You're a senior. You're full of disappointment right now. But once you, you know, deal with this tonight, tomorrow's a new day. The sun's still going to come up tomorrow. And you're going to have to pull your bootstraps up and suck it up and play one more game. And don't let your season end with back-to-back losses. And on top of that, you're playing a rival who beat you three times last year. Don't let them have this. So that was my advice. Mm-hmm. That was my speech to my son. And I know he told me, he said he was out on the floor during the third place game. And he said the one kid for Southeast goes, isn't this crazy? Why are we even playing this game? And my son goes, I don't know. So players for both Southeast and Beloit, you know, we're like, yeah, why are we playing this? But I think it is good that they played it. I understand the argument not having third place games. I would listen to it. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to disagree with you. But I did see up close and personal, for me personally, that there was something positive that take out of playing a third place game, and that was what I just mentioned. One more chance to shoot the three-pointer, one more chance to shoot a free throw, one more chance to throw an alley-oop, one more chance to get a rebound, one more chance to represent your school and go out with a win. And you know, a third place trophy is better than just medals.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth place gets just medals. The trophy and medals go to the third place. And so Beloit did their job, you know. And I'm going to tell you something, the first half, the second quarter, this team looked like they had lost the day before. Mm-hmm. There was uncharacteristic things I had not seen, honestly, the last few years. Just bad shot selection, bad defense, boneheaded plays, chucking the ball with plenty of time on the clock at the end of a quarter. I mean, there was all kinds of things. Like every player, I mean, some guys missing layups that don't miss layups. It was just a colossal grouping of what the hell's going on here, but you knew what was going on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And halftime, I'm thinking, come on, guys. You cannot go down this way. This is not the way the season is going to end. You cannot allow this to happen. And they didn't. So I'm proud of this team, proud of my son, proud of everything that they accomplished. For those that had requested it, I will play this here. This is our post-game interview after the game. But before I get to that, I do want to get in, so we break this up a little bit. I do want to go through the other state champions, okay? Wellsville won the 3A boys title with a win over Goodland. Silver Lake, by the way, well, Goodland was up 6 or 8 points, it was, and then Wellsville banked in a 3 to end a quarter. And I'm like, wow, that reminds me of Girard.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need a little luck, don't you? And Goodland ended up losing, so they're the ones at Heartbreak Hotel. So close to their first title since 1959. Of course, Beloit's never won a title and didn't quite get there this year. Wellsville won their third title, 87-94, now 2024. And they had a father-son combination. Brent Dorsey was on the 94 team, an outstanding player. His son Willie had 23, and Wellsville won a state title Saturday in Hutch. Silver Lake girls finished an undefeated season. They beat Heston. Closest game of the year they had. They earned it, 66-61. What a year for Silver Lake girls. 2A boys, Sacred Heart finishes third. They beat Sterling 58-51. They were very close to being in the state title game. Mound Ridge won the boys' title second straight year. They beat Linden 58-44. Linden had been undefeated. That's tough, too, isn't it? You're undefeated, and you're one win away from the perfect season, and you don't get it done. In 2A girls, Wichita Independent claimed the title with a win over Riverside. 1A Division 2, a great Ben. Hanover girls beat Lebo in the title game for the second straight year. They won 50-35. Cunningham won the boys' championship over Lebo 60-55. In 1A Division 1, the Frankfort girls, who were champions of the Rock Hill Substate, wrapped up a state title 47-41 over previously unbeaten Little River. On the boys' side, in Colby, South Gray beat Bishop Seabury by 13 for the title. We've said this many times before, and the NPL has to deal with this, but as does everybody in this state, the Twin Valley League is a whole different echelon better than every other league in the state in small league school leagues. It's not even close. Hanover girls win again. Frankfort girls, they sweep the 1A titles in girls. They had teams that finished in third place. I mean, what they do every single year, you get to see it up close and personal. I used to see it all the time. And they got teams that don't even make state that could probably place. It's just insane the quality of play that TVL puts together year in, year out, girls and boys. It's just amazing.
It's dominant. The Clifton Clyde girls, if they're playing at the top of their game, could definitely have placed out at the 1A D1 tournament.
Doubt.
You know, and Osborne, if they were playing at the top of their game, played with Clifton Clyde, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think just in the end with matchups and depth and how things go, there's so many TVL teams that aren't even out there that, you know, Centralia was out at 1A D1 on the girls' side. You know, there's teams that don't make it that have beaten those teams that just won state, right?
Right.
Because neither one of those teams were undefeated, Frankfort or Hanover, mm-hmm. right? Because they played in that league. Now, Hanover was stacked last year and ran through every game undefeated. But this year, that was not the case. And
Valley Heights girls were an 8 seed at 18-5 and blew out the undefeated Wichita County team first round state.
Yeah. Which, if you know about what's going on, was not a surprise to me or you.
No, and that was in 2A. It's insane how good the league is.
It's crazy, man. Like, you just year after year, and it doesn't matter. They're going to be there. Somebody from that league is going to be there to make a run.
Absolutely. As I said, Ryan Eiler, post-game interview we had, we'll play here in just a little bit. Other champions, 4A girls. I don't know how Bishop Miege saw this one coming. Miege wins a state title. At least Wellington gave them all they could handle. Wellington beat Beloit girls at the Orange and Black Classic in Colby. They were up in the second half but couldn't finish it. I tell you, Miege, do they go ahead and do they build a whole nother room for their state championship trophies? If you don't know, Bishop Miege girls have won 5 straight titles, 25 state championships. But remember, there's nothing wrong with what's going on. And they could win 5A, and they're now 4A, and they just dominate in 4A. And I'm not trying to be sour grapes, but it's ridiculous. I mean, they have to win. They have to beat one. Honestly, with the way they are, they have to win one tough game. If one, when they get the postseason play, maybe one, maybe. And they were pushed in the championship by Wellington, and give Wellington credit. But it sucks for Wellington. 2 straight years, knocked out by Miege.
I do. It's not funny, but it's funny that you mentioned the trophy case thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I do wonder what they do with all those, because as a school, they have, like, over 110 state championships since, like, 1980-something.
That's insane.
It's, what do? You just showcase the ones from the most recent year, and then the others probably are in...
You just throw it in a janitorial closet in the
closet
back?
Closet somewhere, yeah. I mean, what else do you do?
Yeah.
It's crazy and it's dumb, I think, but whatever. That I'm not gonna.
Yep. Yep, and you
talk about the rest of it.
And you got your rich, you got your rich legislator people, because Keisha's done their part. I'm not. You can't. People want to fire arrows at Keisha all the time. Keisha's done their part. There's a multiplier out there, I'll just go from somebody that's very close to the situation. Said it's pretty simple. You got rich politicians who their own kids go to these schools, and they're not going to make any tougher for their kids to win state titles.
Yeah,
no conflict of interest there.
No,
not at all. The rich get richer. I'm not trying to take away from the kids of my age. They play, they try hard, and everything else. It's just not an even playing field. You know, maybe there's some years they get really pushed. But anyway, McPherson boys, boy, Hugh, now listen, I sit here and I feel sorry for the Beloit boys because they didn't get their ultimate goal. How would you feel if you're a Hugoton Eagle fan and a senior? And I know a good friend of ours that is on that Hugoton team that's a senior player. I was watching this. The Hugoton boys and McPherson, my oldest son and I went and saw the state title game last year in Salina, and Hugoton beat McPherson. So it was a rematch of a state title game. Hugoton won their first boys title last year. Back-to-back years, rematch. McPherson's up 6 to start the fourth quarter. Hugoton has a 17-0 run. They're up 47-36 with 3:38 to go. And I know people that stopped watching the stream. They thought it was over. I kept watching because I was sitting there going, well, I guess I can watch the celebration. And then McPherson, Kurt Kinneman, who's an outstanding coach, who's won lots of state titles, and I still would argue McPherson shouldn't be 4A either, but at least they're not a private school.
Yeah, they can't control their enrollment like private schools
exactly,
can.
Exactly. Good point. So anyway, McPherson boys, give them a ton of credit. They just extended the game. They started fouling, and Hugoton kept making just 1 out of 2. And then McPherson's, their players started hitting some threes. And then Hugoton fouled a three-point shooter with 16 seconds to go, 57-54. And that kid made all three free throws to force overtime. And then one of the key players, Hugoton, fouled out late in the fourth quarter. Then in overtime, Hugoton missed more free throws. And McPherson was down 11 with 3:38 to go and came back to win in overtime. Close to the Beloit Sacred Heart game during the regular season. 2:22 to go. Sacred Heart was up 12. Can you imagine, though, having this type of lead and you're a senior? And yes, you can sit here and say, well, boo-hoo-hoo, they won a title last year as a junior. True, but this was the last time they ever played. This is the last game they'll remember. And they're up 11 with 3:38 to go. Mm-hmm. And they missed so much. They missed 18 free throws. That's just got to make you sick to your stomach.
Oh, for sure.
I wouldn't sleep for days if that happened to our team, and I don't even play.
Yeah.
I feel for them. 5A girls, Topeka Seaman, your champion. Cape Mount Carmel, a 5A boys champ. Shawnee Mission South, a 6A girls champ. Shawnee Mission Northwest is a 6A boys champ. You want to go through the All-League, NCAA Mid-Continent League All-Leaguers before we play the interview?
Pull that up here real quick, and we can get to that. Had something else pulled up on my phone.
Well, that's okay. I can give the NCAA while you can do Mid-Continent League.
Yeah,
four boys basketball players named first-team All-League, as they should, going undefeated in that league. They should get four, and they did. Bryce Beisner, Quinn Eilert, Noah Gerstner, and then they're all seniors, and then junior Eli Johnson. Those were no-brainers. Other no-brainers, Ellsworth, Willie Cravens, and Riley Stone, Michael Matucci and Max Erdlich of Sacred Heart, Gannon Jacobson, and Daniel Kerr of Southeast Saline. I can't argue with any of those at all.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Bailey kid might have it instead of Kerr, his own teammate, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But Kerr did a lot of other things to help his team win, so I thought they pretty much nailed that one. That was pretty easy. So Beloit has four first-time selections. Quinn Eilert, Noah Gerscher, Bryce Beisner, and then Eli Johnson will be the only one returning next year. On the girls' side, Peyton Remus, All-League again, and she does so many things to help her team win in her career. And then junior Addie Budker, first-team picks from Beloit. Senior Ashlyn Knight, junior Cassandra Thompson were second-team picks or honorable mention. I think you could make a case that Cassandra could have been first team. Other first teamers on the girls' side, Lainey Peshka of Ellsworth, Mason McClure, Maggie Shoup of Minneapolis, Republic County's Avery Stent, who I said should have been last year, and I stand by that. Avery Eshelman, Katie Weiss of Sacred Heart, Southeast, Maddie Harris, and Lexi Jacobson. all league. I don't know. Was Peyton all league or freshman year? I'm trying to remember if she was freshman year or not. But the Harris girl.
I don't know that she was first team. She might have been on.
She might have been on to mention. The Harris girl, I believe, was a four-time all leaguer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty impressive. Alexi Jacobson was the other. Mid-Continent League all league?
Yes, Mid-Continent League girls. Smith Center's Dakota Kattenberg first team selection, while Cameron Hutchinson and Gracie Kirchhoff were second team picks from Smith Center. Then on the boys' side, Tegan McKenzie made the second team, and Davion Carden White over Miller were both honorable mention picks. Those are the Smith Center representatives. You can find the full all league teams for the MCL, NCAA, Northern Plains League, NCKL, NCKSSports.com.
All right, coming up after the interview that we will replay here, our post-game interview, Ryan Eilert, head coach of the Blade Trojan Boys, after their win over Southeast Saline, talks about the seniors and the team and everything that they did this year. So we're going to play that here coming up in just a little bit. After that, we'll talk Big 12 basketball, KU, what are they going to do moving forward? Hunter Dickinson's hurt. Kevin McCullough's hurt. That's their two best players. We'll hear from Jerome Tang. K-State with a win over Iowa State. Is it enough to put them in the tournament? And the Chiefs ponying up a lot of money to keep one of their star defensive players. We'll go over all that coming up. But first, after this 30-second timeout, here on The Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive, we'll replay that post-game interview from Ryan Eilert after the state win in third place at Hutch on Saturday.
I'm Elijah at Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. You depend on your vehicle every day to get you where you need to go. The best way to keep it ready and avoid breakdowns is through proper maintenance. Whether it's oil, fluids, filters, spark plugs, belts, hoses, or brakes, we can help. Give yourself the peace of mind of knowing your vehicle is ready to go. For fast, friendly vehicle maintenance, call Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Find us just south of the courthouse or on the web at KieferBrothers.com.
We're joined now by the head coach, Ryan Eilert, the Beloit Trojans, as they take home third place and finish the year tying a school record, 24 wins, going 24-2. And, you know, Ryan, we were talking about yesterday, obviously disappointment, you know, devastated is a strong word, but I'm sure what took place at your house last night was very similar to what took place at my house last night when we got back. The emotions coming out because you put so much into trying to bring home a first ever state championship. But at the same time, the one thing I said, I don't know what you said to the kids, but I said to my son last night, I said, the one good thing about a third place game is you get one more bus trip with your buddies, your friends, your teammates, your classmates, and you have another chance to wear that Beloit Trojan jersey with pride. And I said, whether you believe this third place game is that important or not, you as a senior along with the other seniors have got to pull your bootstraps up and get ready to go and play one more game and end your career with a W. And at halftime, you're down three, but then you guys come through with flying colors in the second half.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of teams at the end of the year don't know when their year is going to end. And obviously, when you win the first night, you know that you get two more games. And everybody but one team every year ends up with tears at some point. And so, you know, winning this game's huge. They're smiling now. They feel good about, you know, what they've done. Proud of them. You know, in the first half, we kind of looked like that group at times that, you know, they wanted to will it to win, but they didn't want to play basketball to win.
Yes.
And so at halftime, it was kind of, you know, just that, hey, you know, we're doing stuff we haven't done all year. You know, let's make sure we go out and play basketball instead of just trying to, like I said, just trying to will ourselves to win.
It was uncharacteristic, some of the things we saw, especially, I would say, the last half of that second quarter right before halftime.
Yeah, and it wasn't one person. It was all of them. It was every single one of them. And so, yeah, it you know, you hit the tired legs. You hit the, you know, the disappointment. We came out and had a good start. Had a couple 10-point leads or seven or eight-point leads that got – we lost them, and they wanted to get it back all at once and just weren't able to do it. But in the second half, I thought we did a nice job of regrouping and moving the ball better and then giving them nothing easy.
You're up 20-12. They go on this 14-2 run, led by four, led by three at halftime. They led by three there in the third quarter, and then you go on a 9-0 run, go up six, and then had a 7-0 run to open up the fourth quarter. Southeast only scored 10 points in the second half.
Yeah, and you know, last night our defense, you know, just it wasn't there, but as far, I mean, Wellsville forced that issue, but you know, all year long, I feel like when we've been locked in, our defense has been good, and I wouldn't have said that at the beginning of the year, and so yeah, only giving up that amount of points in the second half was huge.
Today, different story on the glass. You were plus 17, plus 5 offensive glass, second chance points 16-2.
Yeah, you know, we just did a great job. Eli's had a tremendous tournament, unbelievable, and he just, you know, it's the same thing today. We'd miss a few shots. He'd get a rebound, put it back in, and just had an unbelievable three nights here.
You know, tell Eli, just because he made a 75-footer doesn't mean he needs to chuck it from 80 with 5 seconds left. That was hilarious. I was like, boy, he must think he can make it again.
That was another what are we doing type moment. It was just like, we can't even count anymore. And I guess he was trying to one-up himself from yesterday.
Thank God it's the last game. We're trying to do all that at the end, right?
Yeah.
Listen, it's been a special year. Try to put it in perspective for me. I mean, 24-2. The 14 team, the 19 team went 24-2. They did make it to the state final. This team going for third place. 24-2. Your losses to Olathe North, the 6A state qualifier at Colby, and then a loss to Wellsville, who might end up being the 3A state champions. Can you kind of put it in perspective for me?
I think, you know, every group, it takes a little while before you totally realize how special a group was. And this group's right up there with all the others. I think you really realize how special they were in a year or two when you're telling other teams different stories about this group. And these guys definitely have stories that'll be told. I mean, throughout the year, we've had unbelievable performances. We've had great play. And it's all been team-type effort. And so great group of guys to be around. They like being around each other, and it's been a great year.
Let me go through some accolades for you to sum it up here. Tied for most wins school history, 24-2. Undefeated 10-0 in a league that sent four of the six teams to state. You went 11-0 against Lee Schools, winning today, third time against Southeast. After they beat you three times last year, you returned the favor. Second at Colby, sub-state champs, a 10-game winning streak, a 13-game winning streak, 20th state tournament appearance school history, third at the 3A state tournament. And here's one for you that I'll share with us. I had a parent of one of your key players back in 2020 that did not get the chance to finish out the state tournament. She came up to me, gave me a big hug, and she said, I never really wanted to come back to this place after what happened. And she said, I want to thank you, your son, and your team, because this helps with the heartache from that year, you guys making this run all year long and then getting the state and having success here. And it just gave me goosebumps thinking about that.
Yeah, you know, as a coach, I was able to make it back. Those kids were not. And, you know, I think that really showed up with Owen this week. Mm-hmm. And it's tough.
It is.
And
it is. I'm with you, my man.
So.
It is.
But to have them guys here supporting that group and carrying on, you know, the lack of an opportunity that year, you know, is key. And I think that's, you know, part of our community and everything is how, you move back even after doing, you know, going through it, and then you start supporting the kids that come up behind you. And next thing you know, you have kids in the school system and in the program. And so, I just think that's a strength that our community has.
I always do this with you every single year, no matter how the season ends, to go through your seniors. Obviously, Eli and Jackson will be two key components next year, two of your starters back, and they really grew and improved this year, and they will be your leaders next year without question. Well, let's talk about these seniors. You know, Kyler Burks, I'll start there. You know, Kyler would have been a big part of this team, no doubt. Kyler's here in his wheelchair with his family. They made the trip down. Kyler was always a member of this team, honorary member, made it to some of the games this year and cheering us on, and just to give you an opportunity to talk about Kyler.
Yeah, you know, he's taught us so much in the last couple of years, and you know, you go back to the work that he was putting in before the accident, and he would have been in this group as far as playing time and everything. And so, you know, some you never know why things happen, but you try to take lessons from them. And, you know, our kids are, you know, he's teaching us a lot right now. And his work ethic, it's you know, his improvements are small, but it's awesome to see him.
Jordan Sevilla wasn't on the varsity roster, but he had a three-point attempt I thought was going to go in on senior night. And he's a kid that's had to battle some adversity in his life, and I thought it was just great that he was out participating.
Yeah, and showed up and did what was asked of him, and you know, was a big part of our program at practice and stuff, and proud of what he was able to do this year.
Emil Lachin, the Belgian exchange student who had a dunk early in the year.
Yeah, you know, he comes in and is trying to learn all our terminology, and I'll be honest, what I call stuff isn't what normal people call stuff, and so foreign language and what we try to do, you know, I really appreciate his work ethic throughout the the year, and the smile he had after that dunk was one of the biggest smiles we had all year.
These last four seniors, you and I had a chance to coach them back in third through sixth grade, and you and I've seen video recently of when you and I were walking down the court in Parks and Rec, for crying out loud, with these kids in the NZK Technical Gymnasium. Let's start with Lance. So much improvement, some timely threes, hit one again here today, a spark off the bench.
You know, just the energy he provides, and you know you're going to go. He's going to go in. He's going to give you everything he has defensively. It's not always fundamental, but he finds a way to disrupt the other team, and you've got to have that. You know, if you want to have a success.
Let's talk about Quinn. You know, Quinn, 4-year varsity player, career high 18 against Silver Lake in the sub-state semis, where he's magnificent. He's had to battle injuries, you know, from football season, and once he started to get healthier, boy, you could see he was the Quinn of old that we saw last year. All-leaguer a few times, and did a little bit of everything for this team, whether it was scoring, whether it was rebounding, assist, defense, and an all-around player for your team and a leader that accepted his role.
Yeah, and, you know, Quinn's a kid that he's going to do whatever's needed, and that's not just on the basketball floor. That's everywhere. And so, you know, if he needs to D up, he'll D up. You know, he'll throw assists. He'll get rebounds. You know, and it's just his leadership and his presence, you know, proud of how far he's come and what he's been able to accomplish.
You know, I remember Quinn and Noah rebounding in warm-ups for you out at Russell at Substate 1 year, and now they're seniors. It's insane how quickly it goes. Noah, all-leaguer last year, 4-year player on varsity. He had a lot of threes this year, 67. He transitioned to point guard, and you know, Quinn, Noah, and Bryce, they were really quiet when they were younger, but they really all had to step up and be leaders. But your thoughts on Noah and what he was able to accomplish this year?
You know, as a kid and growing up, you know, especially having to play as a freshman, he was known as a shooter, and he's a good shooter, but sometimes struggled with other aspects of the game. And you know, by just watching him grow, you know, this year he'd do everything. He was our, you know, we'd put him on their best player as a defender. He learned to scrap. He learned to play point guard, and just became a tremendous all-around player.
And then I will close with Bryce. I mean, to me, he'd get my vote for 3A State Player of the Year. I was trying to think of who else would be worthy. I'm sure there's many, but what Bryce did, starting all 4 years as a starter, three-time All-Leaguer, he will be. Over 1,100 career points, 61 double-figure games, 25 out of 26 this year, 12 double-doubles, a shot blocker. Then he was able to hit some threes this year, an array of moves. And I remember we kept yelling at him when he was younger, get tougher, get more physical, get more aggressive. Oh, he had to survive this state tournament. What about Bryce?
Well, he's a special player, you know, ranks up there with the best of Beloit High. Able to control the paint defensively. I mean, his shot blocking ability, I would probably, I mean, it's just, you know, uncanny what he was, how he's able to time it and do it. And his progression, the time he spent doing it, and it was never about him. I mean, none of these kids were. It was always about the team. It was never anything we did was about one individual, and that's what makes him a special group and what makes Bryce a special kid.
It's been one heck of a year, my friend. Ryan, thank you so much for everything you've done and put into this thing. I mean, like I said, with these seniors, you're working with them as far back as their first graders, and now that means we're really old and losing all our hair, at least I am. And now we watch, you and I both get to watch our sons play for a final time in a Beloit Trojan jersey. I said it's bittersweet. You win, but you also know that's it. And for you and me as parents, I've got another one up coming up down the line, but this is your last one. But it is tough sometimes to understand how quickly it can be over, even though, like you said earlier, we knew this was going to be the final game. Many schools don't know that. But I appreciate everything that you've done for Beloit as well in this community, and in particular this basketball program that is one of the best in the state.
Well, I appreciate everything, you know, you've done throughout the years, and obviously this season. And you know, what a great week. You get an award. Rodney, yes, gets an award to start the game today. We showcase our cheerleaders, our band, our student section. We travel so well. Our school has a lot, you know, and community has a lot to be thankful for. And you're one of the reasons, and just, you know, appreciate all the coverage that you give and everything that you put in. But you know, I do think that the state tournament does give communities a chance to show what they offer, and we were definitely able to do that this week.
Absolutely. Well said. Thanks, Ron.
Hey,
appreciate
it,
man. Great season. Ron, head coach of Beloit Trojan Boys, joining us here on our post-game show, brought to you by Becker Autos and Trailers, Camper Supercenter.
That was Ryan Eilert after the third-place game that Beloit won over Southeast Saline on Saturday. Beloit finishes third for the fourth time in school history. They never lost a – not that it feels any better. You never lost a third-place game. They're 4-0, but they never won a state title game, 0-6. It was the 10th time that Beloit had a team that finished in the top three, which is pretty impressive in school program history as well. So Beloit ends the year tying a school record and wins 24-2. Is their record here in 2024. So thanks to the team and the coaches and the community and the players, administrators, and so many other people that I thanked at the end of the broadcast the other day for making it a very truly special season. I've done basketball for 30 years. I put it on social media that this was the most special season that I've ever broadcasted. And, of course, that's because I had a son on the team. And it's going to be weird not calling him and his classmates games in the future. It's going to be very, very weird. But we will... Life always moves on.
It does. Life, whether you want it to or not, it's moving.
As Ferris Bueller once said, life moves fast. You know? It does.
Yeah. And like you were saying, I hope you slow down, right?
Yeah.
Like Ferris Bueller. So if you don't slow down.
Yeah. You're going to miss it.
You might miss it. And so, hopefully you were able to do that and the kids were able to do that at some point this year and kind of realize what they had. And obviously that's going to, like, I did like what Ryan said there, you know, you don't really know until a couple years down the road when you're going to start talking about these teams. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that with the teams that I've covered, with family that's been on the teams that I've covered, friends that have been on the teams that I've covered. You don't really appreciate it probably like you should in the moment, but they'll understand what that was and what that meant. And they'll always remember that they came up short of what they wanted, sure, but they'll always remember the memories that they had and the time that they had doing it and the work that it took to get to where they got to. And that's something that they'll carry with them and can carry with them wherever they go and whatever they want to do. And I'm echoing what you said earlier because I didn't want to interrupt your flow. That I've learned a lot from sports, and not necessarily all those things have been good. Yes. And hardly any of those things have been good, to be completely honest with you. I mean, we didn't have teams like you've talked about last week. We didn't have teams when I was in high school that were dreaming of making it to the state tournament, right? Like, just the talent wasn't there. For some people, the work ethic wasn't there and what it takes to do that. And so, you know, I had, just like you, had a bad senior year in basketball. And so there's a lot of those memories that aren't good from that aspect. Mm-hmm. You know what? I learned a lot about myself, and I learned about a lot about other people and a lot about what it takes to actually achieve some of the things that you set out to do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that had to do with not having success.
Right.
Yeah. And so whether you're winning like Beloit was this year and going 24-2 and taking home a trophy from state, or you're going 0-20 like I did my junior year of high school, you still learn something from that. I learned that I hate losing.
Right.
And I learned that I hate people that are just content with losing.
Yes. Yes.
And so those are some of the things that you pick up, right? But I do. You'll everybody that played at state that didn't get the goal that they wanted this year, which is every team except for 7 of them, 14 of them, I guess, if you count boys and girls.
Right.
You know, they're going to hopefully take something out of that they can move forward with.
Well, and I told my son this too. I said there's a ton of schools that would give their right arm to just make it to state, let alone be disappointed because you got third. But, you know, it's all in perspective, the best that you can. And it was a great run, and congratulations to all the teams that did so well this year in our listening area, made it to state or had those memories or had great seasons. And to me, it was a big blur. I mean, the whole week was a blur. Yeah. It was like a long week, but it was a blur. And I will have to, like, kick back and absorb and soak it in. I was trying to do it the best I could, especially getting there plenty of time ahead, looking around, checking out the fans and the pep band and the student section. And I was trying to take it all in the best I could, and at the same time take in appreciating my son playing his last game and trying to take it in that, you know, this little, you know, who knows when the next time Beloit will make state. And we're not guaranteed anything. Beloit went 4 years between state appearances. They may make it to state next year. They may not make it to state for 15 years. Who knows? That's why you shouldn't take these things for granted. You know, we talk about the Chiefs all the time. Oh, every year you just know they're in the AFC title game. Well, it didn't used to be that way, and at some point it won't be that way again. So, you know, appreciate as much as you can, as you just mentioned. So that concludes our winter sports season. Now we'll shift into track and field and baseball and softball and everything else that's taking place here.
Yeah, golf and tennis and all that stuff that goes by in a real breeze once it gets going.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Thanks to everybody for the kind words and nice things that they said about our broadcasting. I got compliments from people covering Beloit. I got compliments talking about you and your coverage and the great job that you do. I had somebody tell me, man, Dusty's really good. I'm like, yeah, tell me something I don't know. Like somebody just discovered you apparently 20 years later. I'm like, you have not been listening to play-by-play basketball in our area very much then, because I mean, I appreciate the, you know, saying you did a great job, but I'm like, where you been? Dusty's one of the best broadcasters in the state. You know, Dusty won Sportscaster of the Year award, what year was that, 17?
17.
Yeah. Yep. Oscar Stoffer Sportscaster of the Year award in Kansas. Dusty's on that list. I was fortunate enough to be added to that list and winning it this year, and a lot of people that, you know, said really kind things about that. And I think that the thing for me on that real quick is that, you know, the award was nice, the ceremony was nice, took too long, but it was cool and appreciate it. It was great to share it with the Beloit faithful that were there. It'd been weird to be there and no Beloit people there. Like, who's this freaking guy? Look at this guy with a face for radio. So that was cool and everything, and it's awesome to hear from your peers and colleagues, even some people I didn't expect to hear from, I heard from, which was really cool. But I think the really neatest thing, I mean, there's no doubt the neatest thing, the coolest thing was to enjoy it with the community at Hutch, and that our team was there. That was awesome. That I'll always remember that. Family and friends, it was awesome. But one of the things that I've said, and I'll post this sometime at social media when I have time, but I've always said that the greatest compliment somebody can give you as a play-by-play announcer is, you made me feel like I was there.
Absolutely.
And what's weird is we went out to lunch or dinner after the loss to Wellsville, and my wife's Aunt Linda, she lives north of Topeka, and she has watched the stream throughout the year. So she's listening to my broadcasting, or she listens on the radio, and she's listening to you too, of course, when you filled in for me. And she said, and she gave me the biggest compliment, which means a lot from someone that, you know, she follows sports, but she's not a diehard sports fan. But it really was refreshing and cool. She goes, I just really appreciate you calling the games because I feel like I'm there. I know what's going on, and she says, and I think you do just as good a job as Mitch Holtis or even better. I'm like, whoa, okay, now. Yeah, okay, that's nice of you to say. And that means the world to me. I know it means the world to you when people give you that compliment. So when you get compliments like that, those compliments to me mean more than awards. Because those are people that really are actively listening to you.
Why are we doing this?
Right. You're doing
it's
it
for the listeners.
For the listeners. That can't
or the
make
viewers,
it. That
you know,
can't
for
make
the video
it.
Stream. It's like that's why we're doing this.
Right.
Like, I don't care if some guy from Indiana thinks I'm doing a real good job on my play-by-play because he heard it one time. Right. These are the listeners that are listening all the time to me. And you know, I got a comment over the weekend from somebody that was like, I don't live in the area anymore. I had to download the app, but I still listen to every game you do.
Oh,
and it's
awesome.
Like, well, that's awesome, right? Like, that's kind of cool. And and so that's why I'm doing that, right? Like, this is what we're here for. And so if I'm getting compliments from listeners, it took me forever to get one of these blue awards out here, right? I didn't care. Like, I cared. I wanted one.
Sure.
It was cool to get the monkey off my back. But it's like, I've had a lot of people tell me I'm doing a pretty good job, so I think I'm all right, without the hardware that's attached to it. Again, we do that, and it's fun to do that, and it's fun to get that award. I'm like you; it was fun that I did it at Hayes, and my family was real close and could come see it, right? And they didn't have to drive too far to see me get the award. Mm-hmm. But I wish I would have had, like, Osmond was kind of getting in there and setting up, but for you, it was a. I know it caused you to have a longer break in your pregame, but it was like, at least everybody was here and the whole community was able to celebrate Rodney, Ryan said, and you all in one weekend. And obviously they celebrated their basketball team and everything that they accomplished. Mm-hmm. But the listeners are why we're here. That's why we're doing this. Like, that the only reason why we're doing it.
I kept it quiet because I just was like, I'm not one that wants to really brag too much about things. I mean, I'm honored to be with getting the award. That's cool and all, but I was like, I bet you a lot of Beloit people are like, why is Gerstner going out on the middle of the floor? I kind of thought it was fun to be a bit of a surprise, which I think most people didn't know. Our coaching staff, yeah. I don't think knew. I didn't tell anybody. The only people who knew was family, and was going to be there, and you. And then there was... I still haven't seen Keisha post what they're supposed to be posting about it, by the way.
Yeah.
But they sent out some email release, so there are some news outlets that grab that. But what I wanted to say about this, to put a bow on it, is what I think means most to me, besides the things I just said, is I look at that list of previous winners, uh-huh. and I'm just humbled.
That's the word, for sure.
I'm just absolutely, like... I kind of say to myself, well, Gerstner, you finally made it.
Yeah.
Because I'm 48 and I finally got there. But, and that's not like that was my goal to be on this list at all. But I look at these winners, Bob Davis, Wyatt Thompson, Jim Rose, Gerard Welbrock, so many. I don't have it in front of me. Brian Haney, a good friend of mine.
Yeah, Smoller.
Brian Smoller, Matt yeah. Walters, great friends of mine. Dusty Dinas. So we can say that both employees at KD Country 94 have won this award. How many radio stations can say they're hitting 1,000 exactly. on that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm just honored to be, and I've left out names, but I'm just honored, you know, Dustin Armbruster, former Waukini person, won it. Devin Haney, great guy.
Three Trigo grads on that list.
Three Trigo grads now. Yeah, that's crazy. Trigo Community
We're
High
dominating
School.
Dominating that thing.
We are the plethora. We are the pipeline to broadcasting in Kansas. Anyway, but you know, Mike Hammett used to be in Marysville. He won the award, and now he's doing Division I sports for Louisiana Monroe. There's some amazing people that are on there that have won this award, and they're terrific at what they do. And so it really, to be on that list, makes me very proud, because if I'm on that list, I've done something right, I guess is what I'm trying
sure.
to say.
I think I want to add, too, just to add to the end of that, is as I was looking at the list, because I wanted to see what your which picture you chose to put in there.
I gave like three or four. I don't know what the hell to pick.
So anyway, I was just looking at that just to see it in the program, right, that your picture and name was in there. But and then I'm looking at the list, and I was like, you know what, I think I'm most proud about of all that, too, is that Glen Elder and Beloit are on a list with yes. Manhattan, Salina, and yes, Topeka, and all those big
Wichita.
Cities. In Kansas, big yeah. cities, right? And to have Glen Elder and Beloit on that list is like, cool. And I'm proud to be from Glen Elder, you sure. know what I mean? And so it's like, I'm proud of that part of it, too.
Yeah.
Because it did seem like for quite a while that this was a big city award, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And to even get Marysville on that list was yeah. probably tough to do,
yeah.
you know? And so that's, I think, the more impressive part of us both being on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of the way it seemed like it was being selected
yeah.
for a while.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the same anymore. I think that they have a pretty good
yeah.
process that they actually go through now that maybe
right.
they – I'm not trying to say those other guys didn't deserve it. Right. Everybody that's on that list deserved it.
You bet.
There's no question. So, but, yeah, I'm proud of the fact that, yeah, you got to take pride in some things, right, that we're both on that list and we're from small towns, right?
Small towns. You betcha. Small town broadcasting and pretty cool to get honored for all that. Okay, we turn our attention to the Big 12 and KU. Boy, they have some issues.
The final 10 seconds. The crawl off the clock, and Kansas will try to reset and hope for better fortunes in the postseason as the regular season ends. Similar to how it did a year ago in Austin, a blowout loss deep in the southern heart of Texas. This one, not pretty, not fun. KU falls by 30, 76-46.
So we're coming back from Hutchinson. I'm listening to Brian on the radio, and Perfy makes a three. That pulls KU to within 24. I'm like, oh, dear Lord. Well, no need to watch that game when I get home.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a single second of it. Yeah, it was a bloodbath. Kansas gets rolled by Houston. Not a bad first year for Houston League. Outright league champions, and they destroy Kansas after KU destroyed them at Allen Fieldhouse. Here's Bill Self on the lackluster loss.
We were awful. They were great, but we were terrible. Not very competitive at all. Yeah, it was, you know, the worst thing about it, you know, we're so beat up, and then you know, Kevin couldn't go, and then obviously Hunt dislocated his shoulder, popped back in, which is a good sign. But we'll see what type of damage there is with that situation. So it wasn't a good day coming down here at all. They outclassed us from a coaching standpoint, from a playing standpoint, from an athletic standpoint. Yeah, I mean, you could just, you know, mark it down. Whatever it was, they were certainly a lot better than us.
Now, can you already, McCullough, who Bill Self said kind of regretted it, he played him against Houston and re-aggravated something the other night when he played Kansas State with that knee bone bruise, and then Dickinson dislocating his shoulder. So what Kansas will do, how they'll approach things, the health of those two star players going into Wednesday, just a few days from now, when KU opens up Big 12 tournament play. We'll go through the bracket in a moment. Kansas got a lot of problems, and it's mainly health. K-State put together a solid performance in their senior day victory over number 6 Iowa State, which clinched the outright title for Houston before they even played Kansas. Cyclones lose to K-State by 7. K-State led by as many as 17 in the second half. Arthur Kluma, 23. Cam Carter, 21. David Gasson had a double-double, 11 points, 16 rebounds. Jerome Tang on his team responding to the challenge.
Just so proud of our guys and how they've responded every time. You know, I was very clear after the last game that, you know, we didn't give an effort worthy of wearing the K-State uniform, and they didn't take offense to it. They embraced that we have higher expectations of ourselves, and they responded, and that's a really good Iowa State team. Just really, really thankful. It's always great to walk off that floor in the senior night with a win, and those guys will remember that for the rest of their lives.
K-State 18-13 overall, 8-10 in the Big 12. They open up Big 12 tournament play coming up on Wednesday against Texas. So let's take a look at the Big 12 men's championship bracket. It is going to be the first time we're going to have 5 days in this tournament. I call them kind of the feather bracket rounds, but the first round will be tomorrow, believe it or not, at T-Mobile Center there in Kansas City, 11:30 in the morning. It's Oklahoma State, the 13, versus Central Florida, the 12. 14 seed West Virginia will play at 2 o'clock against 11 seed Cincinnati. Winner of that game will play KU on Wednesday. KU's a 6 seed. That'll be at 8:30 on Wednesday night. We'll have it for you on Z96.3 Lake. BYU awaits the winner of Oklahoma State Central Florida at 11:30 on Wednesday. Oklahoma's a 9 seed. They'll take on TCU, the 8 seed, at 2:30 on Wednesday. And K-State, the 10 seed, will play at 5 o'clock, or is it 6 o'clock, I think, against Texas coming up on Wednesday. And then Texas Tech, Houston, and Iowa State and Baylor, they can wait all the way till Thursday. As they're in the quarterfinals automatically, as top 4 seeds get a double bye. Who is your pick to win the Big 12 tournament? I will go first real quick. Baylor. I think Baylor's going to win the tournament.
I'm going to pick Iowa State.
Iowa State. So nobody's taking the number one seed, number one team in the country.
I just think that they've got a one seed wrapped up, and I don't know that they're going to give the all-out energy to win this tournament when they want to win the next one.
I'm going to tell you something right now. If Cincinnati beats West Virginia, Cincinnati's beating Kansas on Wednesday. I'm going to just say that right now. Because if Dickinson does not play and McCullough don't play, of course, I could argue West Virginia will beat them too if West Virginia wins.
Yeah, if those guys are out and not effective, and obviously if they're not in the game, they're not effective. So
yikes.
Yeah.
Things got worse
get
for
healthy,
KU.
I guess.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to be healthy in a few days.
It's not going to happen, though.
The women's basketball tournament, Big 12 play, we'll get to in a moment. All Big 12 teams are announced on Sunday. Yesterday, Jamal Shedd is Player of the Year, Defense Player of the Year, unanimous first team selection. Hunter Dickinson, Newcomer of the Year, first team All Big 12. Also first teamers, Kevin McCullough of KU, Lipsy of Iowa State, DeSue of Texas, Kelvin Sampson, Coach of the Year of Houston, Johnny Furphy on the All Freshman Team, honorable mention pick for KU, along with KJ Adams and DeJuan Harris. And Harris was also picked for the all-defensive team. For K-State, Arthur Kluma and Tyler Perry were honorable mention selections. Women's Big 12 tournament semifinals are set. K-State women, ranked 16th in the country, started their conference tourney off with a hard-fought win over West Virginia, 65-62. Ayoka Lee, 22 points, 11 rebounds. Became K-State's all-time leading rebounder in the process. Serena Sundella, 14. Gabby Gregory, 11. K-State women, 25-6. They'll play number 6 Texas this afternoon in the semifinals. Texas knocked off KU, 76-60. KU women still likely to get in the tournament with a 19-12 record. And Iowa State beat Baylor, and Topsy Oklahoma won over TCU. So the women's semifinals are set. And the matchups in the semifinals for today at 1:30, it'd be Iowa State versus Oklahoma, and at 4 o'clock, K-State women playing Texas. And for the first time ever, the women's tournament is at the T-Mobile Center there in Kansas City, which I think is fantastic. All right, and the final thing we want to get to is NFL free agency, which officially begins today. The Chiefs locked up Drew Tranquil to a 3-year deal last week. Terrific. I had people text me saying, I don't think the Chiefs are going to get it done with Chris Jones. I didn't have time to respond. I was busy with a lot of different things going on this week. I've kind of felt like they were going to get it done.
As every day passed, I was like, I'm pretty sure they're actually keeping Chris Jones based on the moves that they've made so far.
Yes. And the fact they tagged Snead and they made a trade him. Listen, if you had to choose between Snead and Jones, it's obvious which one you pick because it's easier to find corners than it is to find a dominant defensive tackle. But Chris Jones and Chiefs reportedly agreed to a five-year deal worth nearly $160 million, which includes the first 3 years and $95 million fully guaranteed. Jones' agency has put on social media that the deal makes Jones the highest-paid defensive tackle in NFL history. So a five-year deal, first 3 years coming at $95 million. The five-time All-Pro D-tackles played all eight of his seasons, KC, so far. 75 sacks in his career, 10.5 last year. So what do you think? You know, I said last week in Beach I Trust, I could make an argument that you could let Jones walk and don't tie up that much money. And I can definitely make a case that he makes this defense so much better and it makes it so much easier for Steve Spagnuolo to dial up blitzes and for Bolton and Gay and Tranquil to be free and that Karloftis doesn't get double teamed and Omenihu doesn't get double teamed and Jones is such a force inside. He can move out to the outside. And then, you know, he made some gigantic plays the last couple of years in the playoffs. How many times did he save a touchdown pass that we notice with just pressure? And pressure should be rated high, just as high as sacks anymore, to be honest with you, especially the way they baby how you can touch the quarterback. So your thoughts on Chris Jones locking up to a big-time deal, it appears?
I've said the same thing for a couple years here now, at least. Like, if Brett Veach is making the move, I'm going to trust what he wants to do, right? Like, I feel like that he's got a crew of people that are helping him out and figuring all that salary cap stuff out, and none of it makes sense to me. Like, where you can cut here and add here and you know, take a savings here by reworking a contract that's a 10-year contract with Patrick Mahomes and all the stuff that they do with that to make more money available. And obviously now the cap's gone up this year, so there's more money available for you to sign. But the other teams also have that extra money too. So, at the end of the day, I do. I trust what Brett Veach is doing, and why should I not? They've won three Super Bowls with him as their leader and as a GM, and Andy Reid working with what he's given from Brett Veach. So I don't have any qualms with it whatsoever.
Yep, I'm okay with whatever Veach decides to do, so I'm cool with that. Second-team All-Americans in college basketball, Kevin McCullough is a second-team All-American, according to what I just saw here on Twitter, in case you're curious about that. Russell Wilson's found a new team, the former Bronco quarterback. He's going to sign with the Steelers on a one-year deal. They'll pay him just $1.2 million. That's a league minimum. Why can he do that? Because he's making $39 million. $38 million comes for the Broncos. They're going to pay him not to be their quarterback. And I'm really happy for Baker Mayfield. You know, I thought he got a horrible raw deal in Cleveland, playing hurt, gave up. You know, he could have been one of those players, like, I'm not going to play and risk my career, and he did. And now he's getting rewarded. He played really well for Tampa last year, led him to the playoffs, actually had a better record than the Buccaneers had with Brady the year before. Mm-hmm. People like to leave that out. Baker Mayfield signs a three-year deal worth up to $115 million, 50 guaranteed to stay at Tampa and be their starting quarterback. So good for Baker Mayfield. Resurrected his career in Tampa.
Yeah.
And Mike Evans, they got locked up. Yep. So the Bucs are keeping some of their key guys.
Keep some of the, get the core and build it and see what you can do around it.
I like what the Chiefs have done so far. You know, there's a lot more to come. T. Higgins now has made it formally official, that he's requesting a trade from Cincinnati. So now Chiefs fans are saying he's now a Chief. What are the Chiefs going to give up? Draft picks and give him a whole bunch of money? T. Higgins is not going to be a Chief. If he is, whatever. In Beach, I trust again. But I just do not see that. I think, like you, they're going to address wide receiver in the draft. I think they'll pick up a veteran free agent somewhere that might be a good pick. Maybe if Tyler Lockett's released, that'd be a great one. We said that before. Hunter Renfrow, Raiders. If Adam Thielen came available, I'd take a flyer on him. Possession receiver. There was, you know, Xavier Worthy had a great combine and ran like a 4.240. And Mahomes has joked about, love to have him as a Chief or something. And he goes, man, I'd love to play with the Chiefs. I could, you know, see what Tyreek Hill was like in that offense. He's got amazing speed. There are a lot of projections of the Chiefs. There will be a really fast, good receiver there at 32, the final pick of the first round. And if that's the case, then that's great. Then they don't have to waste their money and draft picks to get T. Higgins. Or, you know, DeAndre Hopkins gets released. maybe that's another guy that the Chiefs can bring in, not have to give up draft picks and wouldn't have to sign to a long-term deal, which I'm sure they wouldn't. But I'm kind of with you on the wide receiver front. I have no problem with Veach grabbing a wide receiver in the first or second round like he did with Rashee Rice and Sky Moore, which, you know, has, that one hasn't worked out. Rice has. And then you can still go get another wide receiver or two. You know,
yeah.
MBS is no longer part of the team. You go get a Lockett and a Hunter Renfro and draft a receiver in the first or second round. I say you'd address the wide receiving core.
Yeah.
But I don't think T. Higgins is my answer.
No, not what you're going to have to give up for him.
And like, he was injury prone last year.
Yeah. And if T. Higgins was coming in on the same deal as Tyler Lockett, yeah, go get him. But, or somebody of that caliber, right?
Yeah.
No, you're not. You know, the only thing you would do, I think, on an actual trade for T. Higgins would be L'Jarius Sneed for T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Trading franchise tag for franchise tag.
God, and I don't, Sneed to go to the Bengals?
They're not going to do that. Ooh. I'm just saying that's the only way I think that would even be a thing that would happen.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
And I don't think that they would feel it's the right compensation based on the fact that both of them are on tags either. So
no, I totally agree with you on that. All right, so... supposedly, I'm the boss at this radio station. I'm the general manager. And so it's spring break. My kids are out of school. And which one of us is taking a trip? It ain't me. It's Dusty. But it's well-deserved. Where are you headed? Do you want to share? Do you want to tell anybody?
People will see it. I'm not going to tell them right now where I'm headed. But I'm not afraid of showing my adventures on, on Facebook. So. Okay. We're going to have some fun with my cousin who's about to get married here in June. So
sucker.
I already told him you guys are not going to like having an old with you at this trip, man. It's,
you can be the driver.
I'm already telling him, like, here's where I need for the lodging. This is what I need to sleep and how I need to sleep. You're going to hate being with me. I'm just going to let you know that right now.
If you want me to be a part of your whole thing, I'm going to bring you down. But I'm letting you know ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this just what it is, and
I forewarned you.
Just deal with it.
That's funny. Well, have a safe trip. Get recharged so that I can take some time off when you get back.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. Once again, thanks to all the coaches that we have worked with throughout the season.
Yes.
Basketball, girls, boys coaches for our locker room chats, our wrestling coaches. We appreciate them, all their cooperation, the teams we cover on a play-by-play basis. Thanks to all of them for their help. Athletic directors, we appreciate them. And how many times we talk to the administrative assistant secretaries, whatever you want to call their official title anymore. I don't know what it is anymore. Administrative assistant. I don't. But how many times do we have to talk to them about, hey, I need this, I need this, and they'll hook you up and take care of you. So we appreciate all the people out there. Appreciate you, our favorite listener, for tuning in to all the games during the sports season. Things slow down for us a little bit here as we get into the spring sports season, but we hope you enjoyed all the coverage throughout the basketball wrestling campaign. We hope that you take a chance to thank all those sponsors or at least one of them here and there when you see them for making all that coverage possible, because without sponsors, there is no broadcast coverage. So once again, we hope you enjoyed everything this year. Look forward to next season.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.